8th chapter of Romans. We'll start reading in verse number 1. I'd like to read down through verse number 13. Romans 8, verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. I'm in the wrong chapter. Bear with me. I said chapter 1, and I went to chapter 1. Chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Verse 4, chapter 8. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, and they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Father, we ask special measure of grace this morning. We know these scriptures are difficult to grasp, that we've read them many times, studied them. The members of this church are familiar with this passage of scripture. But our understanding is darkened at times because we don't grasp fully what you would have us to grasp from these verses. I do pray that the Spirit of God would speak to our hearts this morning, that we might know what Paul is writing about here, that we might grasp the depths of what we have when Christ himself lives in us, in the person of the Spirit. We ask, Lord, that you would bless your word and use it to encourage your people, to show us, Father, how we deal with the fact that we've been born again, we're a child of God, and yet we're still in this mortal flesh that we received at birth. So give us understanding, give us the ability to make it plain, all to glorify Christ, and we pray in his name. Amen. Paul begins this 8th chapter with a very comforting verse. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. We can never be condemned if we're in Christ Jesus, if we've been saved, if we've been born again. Nothing can ever condemn us. Last part of this chapter, he makes it very, very plain. There's nothing that can ever separate us from the love of Christ. I'm persuaded, he says, that nothing shall ever separate us from the love of Christ, the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. So there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. But here it gets a little bit hard to grasp, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Again, there's a distinction here. Walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So the distinction, there's two of them here. Are we in Christ Jesus? And secondly, are we walking not after the flesh? We're walking after the Spirit of God. He's the one that goes before us. He's the one that we listen to. He's the one that guides us in the decisions that we make. And if that's true, there's no condemnation. That second verse says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. We're free from that. Our chains have been broken. We're no longer bound to that old spirit of death, because the Spirit of life set us free. When the Holy Spirit of God comes into our hearts in a new birth, He frees us from the law of sin and death. You know, the law of sin is very plainly expressed throughout the Scriptures, but I think of Ezekiel 18:18, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. That's the law of sin and death. Also, we read in Romans chapter 6, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. So we've been made free from the law of sin and death. No longer tied to it. We're no longer chained to it. Those chains have been broken. We're free from that. And then he explains in verse 3, for what the law could not do, that it was weak through the flesh. With all of the resolution that we may make, with all the effort that we may take upon ourselves to keep the law of God, we can't do it. Because of the flesh, the law was weak. We couldn't keep it. Nothing wrong with the law, but something wrong with us. But God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, in the likeness, with one exception, He was not born in the likeness of Adam. He's born in the likeness of His Heavenly Father. He had no sin. He had no sin nature. And for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. He demonstrated that a man who, as God is his Father, doesn't have to sin. Jesus never sinned. He condemned sin in the flesh, same flesh we have, with one exception. He did not have an earthly father. He had a heavenly father. Now let's go on. Verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. You know, the only people that can really keep the law of God are those who've been saved. They've been born again. Those of us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. He's repeating what he said in verse number 1. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. He repeats it in verse number 4. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The righteousness of the law can be and is fulfilled in those of us who've been born again. Verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, and they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Which mind do we follow? Verse 6 says, to be carnally minded is death. The only mind we have is a carnal mind, a fleshly mind. Without the Spirit of God in our hearts, we're dead now and forever. That's what Ron read a few minutes ago in Ephesians 2 in verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. We were dead. That's how the Bible describes us without Christ. We're dead. Physically, we're alive, but spiritually, we're dead. We can't do anything spiritual. We can't keep the law. We have the ability. Verse 8, so them that are in the flesh cannot please God. No, the world's religion, Christianity, major part of Christianity, is trying to serve God in the flesh. In spite of what the Bible says, can't do it. It's impossible. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. Without the Holy Spirit, no man can serve God. And yet they still try. Verse 9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, he dwells in you because you've been born again. You've been quickened. God came to you in your lost condition, spoke to your heart, made you alive. Verse number 9, the last part. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. No matter how religious he may be, no matter how resolved he may be, no matter how much he may claim to keep all the commandments of God and all the righteous works that he has, he doesn't belong to God without the Spirit of Christ. That's pretty plain. Verse 10, if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. Now, we don't understand these things without some deep meditation. The body is dead. That's why Ephesians 2, and you have the quickened who were dead. We're alive, we're active, we get involved in a lot of things. But in the sense that he's talking about, positionally, before God, we're dead, even while we're alive. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Notice verse 11, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. Now, generally people take that to mean the resurrection. It's not talking about the resurrection. It's talking about right now. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Right now. Verse 12 says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. And verse 13 is what I'm going to dwell on today. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. If you continue in the dead condition that you're in, which you received at your first birth, a state of deadness, dead toward God, dead toward anything that's righteous. If we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. What is a Christian life all about? This verse, I think, succinctly and very plainly tells us what the Christian life is all about. If ye through the Spirit, by the energy, by the direction, by the leadership of the Spirit of God, do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. What does it mean to mortify the deeds of the body? What's the word mortify mean? Well, there's two words in the original text that are translated into English as mortify, and I want to give you both of those. This one in Strong's Concordance, and those of you that really like to study the Bible, Strong's Concordance is a good concordance to go to when you want to see what did the original scriptures say, and say, I don't need that. Well, maybe not, but as a preacher, I do, because I want to make it as plain to you as I can. Thanatou, in the Greek, is translated to put to death. And that's the word that's used here. If you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body. If you mortify, if you put to death the deeds of the body, ye shall live. It also means to be liberated from the bonds that tied you. It also means to render extinct. What it means, if something is extinct, is gone. But the Bible says, if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, put it to death, ye shall live. Romans 7:4 uses this word again. Wherefore, my brethren, also we're become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, him that is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. It's talking about what happens to us when we're saved. We're married to Christ. He takes up his abode within us. He seals us until the day of redemption. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He fulfills the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in the person of the Spirit. He'll never leave us. So whether it's the Spirit or the Lord Jesus Christ or God the Father, they'll never leave us. They'll never forsake us. They'll always be with us. Also in Romans 8:36, this same word is used. And this is a portion I was talking about earlier. As it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We're accounted as sheep for the slaughter. The word killed is the same word that we're looking at. Mortify. Translated into English, mortify. Here it's translated, we're killed. Now notice, all the day long. How can we be killed all the day long? Think about that. What does it mean when it says for his sake or for thy sake, we're killed all the day long? Do you get the understanding that we're killed once and we're killed again and we're killed again all day long? We're being killed. What does it mean? Well, it means that we're, as it says in this verse, mortifying, putting to death the deeds of the flesh. And that's what the Christian life constitutes. Putting to death the deeds of the flesh. Since we're still in the flesh and Adam is still our father, we have a heavenly father. He dwells within us. But my friend, we still have that earthly body that we receive with the likeness of Adam. We're still subject to sin. We still like sin. We still love sin, to be honest. But the Bible says, we mortify the deeds of the flesh. And we're killed all the day long. Isn't that what we're doing all day long? When we go about our daily activities, when those thoughts come to you that you know are wrong, when those things of the flesh enter into our life in whatever form they come, what are we to do with them? We put it to death. We mortify it. That's the Christian life. And so few people that make a profession of faith in Christ never understand this. Being saved isn't just a matter of trusting in the Lord, now everything's okay and I'll go on with my life and nothing else is going to affect me. No. It means that you now have the Spirit of God in you, and the rest of your life you're going to be killed all the day long. That's what Paul meant in Galatians chapter 2 when he said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. How often was Paul crucified with Christ? Once. Now, Christ was only crucified once, but what about Paul? I am crucified with Christ gives us the understanding it's something that happens over and over and over again. In us, because all day long we're mortifying the deeds of the flesh that come into our life in whatever form, we put them to death. Because the Spirit of God in us shows us you don't need that. You don't want that. That shouldn't be a part of your life. There's another word, as I said, nekru, which is translated mortify. It's used three times in the Bible. in Romans 4:19, since we're close there, just turn back a few pages to Romans 4:19, and where we find again the word that is translated Romans 4:19, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. That's the same word that's translated mortify. This is about Abraham being not weak in the flesh, in the faith. He considered not his own body now dead. Now, was Abraham dead when he considered this? Well, literally, no. He was alive. But read the rest of it. When he was about 100 years old, what does it mean? Being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body. Was his own body dead as far as having a child? 100 years old? That's what it's talking about. Neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He didn't consider either one of these things. Why? Because he was strong in faith. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Strong in faith, giving glory to God. That word is translated mortified in Colossians, if you'll turn there now. Same Greek word that talks about Abraham's body being dead. Colossians 3 and verse 5. You should see the connection here between what we've read in Romans 8:13 and Colossians 3:5. Mortify, therefore. Same word that's used concerning Abraham's body being dead. Here it's translated, mortify, therefore, your members which are on the earth. Now notice what it tells you to mortify. This word means put to death. Or as good as dead. Consider as good as dead. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Aren't those the things that we deal with every day? Aren't those the things that come into our life? And there they are right before us. And as a child of God, we know there's something wrong here. I need to avoid this. I need to get away. How do you know that? What prompts you to think like that? Well, I'll tell you what it is. The Spirit of God in you. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. All these things that we have to deal with every day, fornication, uncleanness, that covers a lot of things. So does fornication. Inordinate affection, loving things too much or in the wrong way. Evil concupiscence, covetousness. We have to deal with these things every day. And if we follow what God would have us to do, we want to mortify them. We need to put them to death. We need to consider them as dead. Now Abraham considered not his body that should have been dead, because he was strong in faith. But beloved, when it says mortify these things, it means consider them dead. Not that they're dead, they're very active. They're very tempting. They're right before you, but consider them dead. Mortify your members which are upon the earth. Hebrews 11:12, we'll not turn and read this, but he's talking about Abraham again. He didn't consider his body, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now I want to apply this to us. Colossians 3:5. If you then be risen with Christ, verse 1, seek those things which are above. Seek those things. Ron read this morning in his devotion. Matthew chapter number 6. Seek those things which are above. No man can serve two masters. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. That's what it means to serve the flesh. Set your affection on things on the earth. You live for what's now. You're not thinking about what God's will is. You're thinking about what you want right now. Verse 4 says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory, if the Spirit of Christ is in you. And then verse 5 instructs us, mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Put them to death. Consider them dead. You don't want those things anymore. There's a time in your life when you did, but consider them as dead. Back to Romans 8 and verse 13. Apostle Paul, writing to the saints at Rome, in his 8th chapter in the 13th verse, teaches us something very important. Therefore, brethren, we're debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. We're not indebted to them. We're free from that. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. What does it mean, practically, to mortify these things? Consider the flesh, the things of the flesh, dead. Don't let them draw you like they used to. When they come to you, say no. Consider them dead. Put them away. Don't let them affect your life. I know I'm preaching probably to people that are lost that have no idea what I'm talking about. But if you're saved, you know what I'm talking about. I just flip one page back to chapter 7, verse 15. And I want to show you what Paul was saying leading into this 8th chapter. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that do I. Why did Paul hate what he was doing? What was he doing when he hated things that he shouldn't have been doing, but he did it anyway? Why did he hate it? The Spirit of Christ in him. The truth. Look at verse 16. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Nothing wrong with the law. The law is not the problem. I'm the problem. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. You see, beloved, it's still there. I think you recognize that. If you don't, you will. Because sin will always be with us as long as we're in this mortal body. It'll always be trying to affect us. It'll always be trying to tempt us. It'll always be trying to draw us away from God. It'll always be trying to get us to do those things that we know we shouldn't do. Verse 17, now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Verse 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. It's going to be a struggle. What I'm preaching today is a struggle, but the Christian life is supposed to be a struggle. It's not supposed to be believing Jesus and then everything's okay and just go on your way and do anything you want to. That's not what it's supposed to mean. It's supposed to be a struggle. How much did he struggle to save you? He lived a perfect life without sin and offered a perfect body to God for our sin. And we think we're going to go to heaven on a bed of roses with no problems. We misunderstood something somewhere. Verse 19, for the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. It's there. That's why Paul wrote in chapter 8, that if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. You'll have life and you'll have an abundant life. But if you walk after the flesh, you're going to die. You've never been changed because the Spirit of God will not let you do that. It wouldn't let Paul do it. Verse 21, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. That's the law that came about because of Adam and Eve's sin. They disobeyed God. And we have the same nature. I think you fully understand this. Maybe you don't if you're a little bit young, but we were in the loins of Adam. Every one of us came from Adam. We were in his loins when he sinned. Therefore, when the Bible says in Genesis chapter 4, Adam and Eve had children, had Cain, he was born in the likeness of Adam. Adam was born in the likeness of God, but he sinned. And every child that's ever been born from Adam and Eve to this day was born in the likeness of Adam, and they have a sin nature, and it appeals to sin. It loves sin. Notice verse 22 in chapter 7. I delight in the law of God after the inner man. Why does he do that? You know, a lost person doesn't delight in the law of God after the inward man. A lost person delights in doing that which is wrong, which is evil. They love to do it. You'll find them in the bars. You'll find them throughout this country, everywhere, doing those things that are evil that they shouldn't be doing. That's what they want to do. They delight in that. But when a man's been saved, and the Holy Spirit of God is in him, he has this attitude, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. It's there because the Spirit of God is in you. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind. This is real. Bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am. Some people would present the Christian life as being all joy and all giddiness and all happiness, and nothing bad ever happens. Well, they haven't read the Bible. Because Paul, who was, in my judgment, one of the greatest Christians who ever walked on this earth, says, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? How am I going to escape this? Is it going to go on forever and ever? But the next verse says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Does that mean he was under sin? Well, no, he tells us how he's going to escape it. That's what the 8th chapter is all about to this point. And he tells us what he experienced, and he tells us how he dealt with it. If ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. There's a war going on. Fight against it. Don't give in to it. Don't yield to those things that are going to destroy your life. They're going to destroy your health. They're going to destroy your soul. Fight against it by the Spirit of God that's in you. And if you will mortify those deeds, if you will put them to death, if you'll consider them dead as far as you're concerned, you're not going to do that anymore. You don't want that anymore. That's what Paul experienced. You'll live. You'll have peace. You won't be condemned by yourself, by your own heart. John talks about if our heart condemn us. If you're a Christian and you let these things go on in your life, your own heart will condemn you. And eventually, if you don't repent of them, God will deal with you as a son. So the gist of my message, if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall lay a fight against it, war against it. Don't let it overcome you. Overcome it. Paul says we have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. We're more than conquerors in this same chapter as he closed it out. We're more than conquerors through him that loved us. We can win this battle. We can win this warfare that's going on in us if we will mortify the flesh and the deeds thereof. Got to fight against it. I hope this doesn't discourage you, but if it does, Take a good look at yourself. Paul said, and we studied this in Sunday school, the church at Corinth, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. You can make a profession of faith without being saved. But if the Holy Spirit is in you, he's going to trouble you when you let the things of the flesh enter into your life and you live in those things and you don't have any conviction about it. That means you don't have the Holy Spirit, because he convicts those that have been born again. He lives with us. He dwells in us. He knows us. And we've got quite a responsibility. Mortify the deeds of the body. Don't let them overcome you. Overcome them by the grace that's in Jesus Christ. That's our message. Bow your heads.